Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast, where we talk about all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel.
And welcome back to the Mouse Ears Podcast. I am one of your hosts tonight, Brooks, and with me are the two ladies of the Mouse Ears Podcast. We have Jenny down there. Well, technically up there in North Carolina. Jenny, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I would think that you're north of me since I'm in South Carolina and you're in North Carolina.
Yes.
So hopefully y'all raised up from the hurricane. And then down there in Florida, we have Steph. Steph, how you doing?
So excited for today's episode.
Yes. And by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, Steph and I are not wearing the same spare jersey. They are very similar, but they are not the exact same. So we are, I think this episode, we could technically say it's a whole new news episode.
I'd say so.
We always joke that it's our favorite time, a favorite part of the
segment. Yeah.
A little tongue tied because, man, I'm just, they're so excited about this week's episode. But before we get into the new news, we're going to go ahead and jump into our trivia question. Now, we don't have Kelton with us this week. He's on a much deserved vacation.
No kidding.
As always, today's trivia question is brought to you by Magic Candle Company. Next time you want a Disney inspired scent to fill your home or office, I have actually one in the back. Filling my office tonight with lovely scents, flying over orange groves. Whether it be a candle, room spray, or more, use our special promo code MOUSEEARS for 15% off. That is MOUSEEARS for a 15% discount off of any future Magic Candle Company purchase. And I will say you can also use those with their bundles, because I did that with the 4-candle deal and basically got a candle for free.
That's awesome.
So, but
yeah,
today
I have my little Polynesian scented room spray. So honestly, to kind of help me get in the groove of podcasting on Thursdays, I kind of do a little sprays, and you know, feels like I'm right at the Polynesian resort getting ready to get on the monorail to Magic Kingdom.
Get some pog juice going and get some pot stickers.
Nice. I went on the website looking, and they have a plug-in diffuser where you can just plug it into an outlet. I'm like, I'm going to be getting some of those. So. And some of that Banshee Flight.
Oh, the best. The best. Ever. Yes.
But today's trivia question, it goes along with our topic for today. Today's trivia question is, when was the first D23 Expo? So stay tuned to the end of the episode for the answer. And then we're just going to go right along into our topic for today. We are talking about D23. So D23 is basically, in a nutshell, Disney's Comic-Con. And we're going to cover all the news that was coming out from D23 this year in Anaheim. They switch off from year to year. One year is at Disneyland, the other year is at Disney World, or the city that those parks are in. D23 is where Disney usually announces all their major plans and news from movies, parks, and more. But before we get into those announcements, we talked about it last week. We had boots on the ground at the expo this year. Steph, as we say, the face of the podcast, was there at the expo just living it up, and we were all living vicariously through her. But before we get into it, Steph, can you just tell us a little bit about this? I mean, tell us about the expo.
So the D23 Expo, as a lot of us know it, it's actually, the official name is D23, the Ultimate Disney Fan Event, presented by Visa. This was actually my first time going. I've always had the dream of going. as a Disney nerd, Disney adult, however you want to call me, categorize me, I've always had my eye on the D23 events and finally became a D23 Gold member with Mike this past year, specifically because I was on the podcast and the blog and wanted to have the opportunities that came with it to report to all of you guys. And so the opportunity finally came for me to go and to be able to explore Disneyland Resort as well. And when I say it did not disappoint, it did not disappoint. First and foremost, this is a 3-day event. For the first time ever, the entire event was split into two different locations. We had the Anaheim Convention Center, which was where the expo portion of things partook, and then the HANA Center, which is where the hockey team over in Anaheim play. That's where the presentation panels were at the end of the nights. So it was really, really cool. I did get to do both on Saturday, August 10th. And that was the biggest day, the most popular day, I'd argue, because that's when all of the park resort news came out. But to talk a little bit more about the convention center and what was there, I do have with me the map from the convention center. So if you're watching us on YouTube, you might be able to get a good look at this. It was huge. It was 3 floors worth of things to do. Naturally, the first floor had the most amount of things, and then it kind of trickled off. Second floor had less, and then the first floor, or the third floor, the least. But there was so, so, so much. So if you're someone who's on the fence about wanting to go in the future, one day is very overwhelming. It is still awesome. You will still get to do a lot because there is so much to do. And yes, there is enough to do over a span of 3 days if you really want. There are things to shop, things to explore, things to, panels to listen to, people to meet, signatures, you name it. There is so much that is offered, and each day, even though it's the same booths, different booths offer different things every day. Some have exclusive stuff at certain hours or on a certain day or for the first attendees. So there really is something going on every single day. It is not by any means enough time to do it all in one day. So again, if you're on the fence and you're a big Disney fanatic like I am or my wonderful co-host, go for the 3 days. Even if you don't go to the presentations portion and you're only focused on merchandise and other things like that, definitely go 3 days. It is worth it. One day is not enough. It's a good way to test the waters out. I can tell you from personal experience, I was stressed, I was overwhelmed, and I was sweating a lot. And it was one of the actual best experiences of my life, despite that. So much to do. I wish I could have gone live, but again, a lot to do. And I was with Mike. He was, you know, my D23 buddy on this trip. So we were kind of running around all over the place. He wanted to check some stuff out. I want to check some stuff out. So it was trying to balance out like me as a fan going for the first time and then me as a podcaster and blogger trying to get information for all of you guys. So anyways. Wait,
is this Sticky Mike from Sticky Mike and the Boys?
Yes, it is. Oh, maybe some people were lucky enough to get some Mouse Ears blog and podcast stickers while we were out there.
So I don't even have one of those.
I will be seeing you in a few weeks and you will get them then. So
I was going to say, I mean, you were talking about like, you were talking about going to the next question, like any pointers for when we all go next year, because we will be there next year. So I don't have to live vicariously through you.
More on that point, there's a lot of like, I don't want to say a lot, there are some preparations that you have to do from, you know, in between purchasing tickets and going to the convention. One of those things is signing up for some of the discussion panels that do happen at the convention center throughout the day. So what you do is basically you have like a week to pick three, and this is how it was this year. It could always change, and things do kind of change every single year to accommodate to the different crowd sizes. And this year was the biggest convention so far with the most amount of people. So what ended up happening this year is, I want to say it was mid-July, for those that were going to the convention, bought the convention ticket, they were given the choice to pick up to three different discussion panels at three different stages on the day of your visit. And then on the first week of August, D23 was going to randomly select something that you chose for you to be able to attend. Now, all of these discussion panels, and a discussion panel, there's a number of different things. It could be one where it's like you're watching National Geographic discuss a topic, or, you know, it could be a presentation of the voices of Goofy and Max, and it's a whole thing. Like, there's a lot of different things. Those are just like the first two things that popped into into my mind. But anyways, you randomly get selected, and it basically quote unquote secures your spot into that panel. There are standby queues that you could join to be able to enter these panels, but it doesn't guarantee you admission. And considering the amount of people, you would have to do a long line and maybe not even get in. So unfortunately this year, because of the sheer amount of people, from what I heard overwhelmingly at the expo, everyone only got one, or most people only got one panel selected. I don't know if this was per day or for the full 3 days, but it wasn't a lot of options that people were given, and there was a lot of long lines that you had to do regardless. So you say, how do you tackle this? Well, definitely planning on ahead. What are some of the vendor booths and pavilions you would want to visit? Prioritizing them. So on Friday, I was not there Friday, I was there Saturday. A lot of these lines were very, very long. A lot of these lines that were so long did not, how do I say this? The guests that were in line didn't make it to the booth because they were in line and they had to cut the line. And so some people, like for instance at Roosevelt's, were given a ticket to return the next day if you had a 3-day pass to be able to re-enter the line and basically not lose your spot and kind of, you know, continue the line the next day. And that happened with a lot of different booths. So these lines are no joke. You definitely have to mentally prepare yourself to be standing around for long periods of time. There are some that aren't as bad, especially like there's an ebb and flow at these things. People will come late, come, you know, or leave early, that would go eat, would go to the Hana Center early, so on and so forth. There's people that take videos. There's like AT&T had their own lounge and for bloggers and podcasters, and people will kind of like meet there and do lives and such. So there's so many things and so many people. It really, there's no way to go around things other than how you do it at the parks. Hey, listen, there's a line that's 15 minutes, book it over there, you know. That line doesn't look too bad, book it over there. But kind of also mentally preparing yourself, hey, there are four booths that I really want to do. I'm willing to wait in any kind of line to make sure I get through it. Again, Friday is when the most lines kind of formulate, and that's what kind of determines how the rest of the weekend will go. So having a plan is important because it's too much to do without a plan. And there is a lot to do. And honestly, and I'm not saying like, oh, we're going to spend 5 or 10 minutes at this booth. No, because there's so many things. You'll be watching and looking at things for a while. I mean, there's plenty of pin booths that you're just like, oh my God, look at this. Oh my gosh, look at this. Like, so anyways, kind of rambling. Here I have a map of the first floor. And I'm going to kind of point out a few of the biggest booths and some of the ones that I visited that really made an impact on my visit. The D23 Ultimate Fan Lounge is where D23 members, specifically gold members, got their own exclusive pin, limited exclusive pin for D23 gold members, which was really nice. And there was a lot of photo op opportunities there with like different Disney characters that you can take pictures of and stuff. It was really, really pretty. You had the Walt Disney Company store. Now, I'm highlighting this store because I did mention earlier at 4 in the morning, you would have to wake up and try and join a virtual queue to basically one of four different store locations. One of them is the Walt Disney Company store. The other ones included Mickey's of Glendale Pin Store, which sold out within seconds. That one was very, very popular. Mickey's of Glendale and the D23 Marketplace. Those are very, very coveted items for people to, or booths for people to visit. I can't believe that that many people wake up at 4 a.m. But honestly, you can start lining up for the convention at 4:30 a.m. Doors don't open until 5 a.m., but the convention doesn't start till 9 a.m. And yes, people were seen wandering the area by 11, 12, 1 in the morning the day before on Thursday of the first day, waiting. Because what also does happen is for a lot of the first guests at certain booths, you're given free gifts. Like, for instance, Sunday morning at the Swarovski booth, the first 50 guests were given a free Swarovski something on Sunday. Like, things like that that are really, really cool, right? And there are so many giveaways. Oh my gosh. The amount of pins I got is just so exciting. so exciting. And they're free. So who doesn't like free things, especially with Disney on it, right? So what was new this year was the Walt Disney Archives, a great big beautiful car show. Now, if you've looked at the Mouse Ears blog and podcast Instagram, you might have seen that I posted a video of Walt Disney's Mercedes when he was alive. That was really cool to see. Another thing that I saw that I didn't get to post yet was the first ever tram from Disneyland Resort. That was very cool. And they had a whole bunch of different cars there from, you know, they had even a replica of Guinevere from Onward, the Pixar movie there. They had the multiple cars that Cruella de Vil from the live action movie there. And, you know, the list kind of goes on. It was very, very cool. Let's see. Talent Central. That's one of the stages that people were able to kind of request, if not do a standing. Oh, I think that was only a standby queue. That's where you would have celebrities and artists and other like big wig names doing signatures and photo opportunities. Those lines were pretty long. So, you know, but I guess that's, you know, to be expected. Let's see. We had the Imagineering Behind the Dreams Disney Experience Pavilion, which was amazing. Amazing. I didn't get to look on Sunday because I wasn't there, but that's where they revealed the models of some of the rides that are coming that we're going to talk about in a little bit. Very cool. We got to see some droids that they use and the, you know, cast members there actually using a remote control, making the droids move. And I got to see, for instance, the ride blueprint and sculpture for a potential new Avengers ride as well, based on King Thanos. I don't know. I feel like I'm butchering the wording of that. There was also Disney's Fairytale Wedding Pavilion, which was really sweet. Disney Cruise Line was there representing. There was, Brooks, you'll like this one. They had a Disney Music Emporium, and basically they were selling exclusive vinyl for some special like movies or collections or TV shows. And
but they had the Country Bear movie. I would.
They didn't. They had a full set of Indiana Jones vinyl and a whole bunch of stuff, which was like, I think $300, but it was really cool. I ended up getting, or Michael ended up getting for me, the 35th anniversary. Was it 35th or 30th anniversary? I don't remember. Of the Lion King
30th
vinyl. And it was like the vinyl, and the vinyl is actually decorated with all of the different characters. So you have Simba, Timon, Pumbaa. The colors, oh my gosh, beautiful. And I'm like, Mike, let's open it so we can hang it. He's like, no, it's staying in a packaging. So here's the thing. A lot of the packaging has like D23 or some other exclusive little thingy on it. So, you know, it's like, do we want to open it? They had a Frozen one. I didn't get that one. And we had like the Frozen vinyl was like a giant snowflake right in the middle. And then it just like went like it was like an ombre of blue that went outwards. Beautiful. I mean, it was just stunning. So I checked that one out. Got a little some there. Canva was there representing for the first time ever. And that one actually had a very long line that I did not do. Basically, at the Canva Pavilion, you would be able to decorate your own tote bag using Canva, the Canva website. And they had their different Disney characters and such. And then it would just get printed. And I'm assuming you would pay for it. You would walk out with your Canva Disney designed tote. Pretty cool. Had a very long line. It was a huge hit. I ended up going to Disney Fine Art. I bought myself a nice Disney print. And I got to meet one of my favorite Disney artists. I've mentioned him before. His name's Dom Corona. He was just such a lovely person in person. That's a lot of persons. But he was so nice to me. He took a picture with me. So sweet. He signed my painting or, you know, my print that I bought. And yeah, that was my personal item on the airplane because no one was going to ruin my painting. I was really excited to have met him. Pixar and Walt Disney Animation Studios was a huge, 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 huge hit. I did not get a chance to walk through all of it. People that did walk through it would get their own little Pixar ball and get pictures with some like lifelike sculptures and stuff, which was gorgeous. Another one that I really wanted to mention was the Disney Volunteers. And basically it was a whole pavilion where anyone who would walk through it would help Disney create a Disney school bag for needy children. And they would give you a bag, and in the bag you would put like a book, like a notebook, crayons, coloring pencils, things like that. And then you would just hand it off and they would give you a little pin, you know, as a thank you to helping create these bags for needy children. It was just awesome. It was really, really awesome. You had things like Pandora and Citizens, ESPN was there, Sunglass Hut, Disney Dorables, Honda, Loungefly. Loungefly had a very long line. I'm happy to say I got some stuff from Loungefly. One of those things I got was this pretty cool Bob Gurr Funko Pop. This Funko Pop, there's only 3,000 in circulation. And for those Disney fans, you know who Bob Gurr is. You know what he means to the Disney community. And I was very happy to have come across that when I was purchasing my own Loungefly backpack and ears. Very, very cool. I know that I think it was on Sunday. I could be wrong. They did have some Loungefly artists or some people there signing. And like every day they would have different things going on in different booths. Like I said, it's like there's always something going on everywhere. I hope you guys are not bored. I'm so sorry. There really is a lot and I'm trying to go through it quickly. The Ravensburger Pavilion, that was Mike's biggest thing about the convention. And apparently for a lot of people too. If you're not a fan of Lorcana, then you might be living under a rock. You probably know Villainous. Villainous has become a very big game that people love. And from there came Lorcana, which is their now Disney and Ravensburger. I always mess up the name. Their trading card game. It is so fun, and it's only been around for a year. Well, it's such a big hit that the line was so chaotic and out of control on Friday that they ended up having to close the line, create a virtual queue for the next day that people had to join at 5 a.m. And if you didn't have the virtual queue, you were just out of luck. Well, people were not happy. They had so many suits. And when I mean suits, I mean official people in black suits standing around the entire Ravensburger booth to try and control crowds and people and everyone wanting to go in. yeah, you could say it was their biggest hit. And lucky for us, we were still able to get our pin, our exclusive D23 pin and card that everyone was fighting for. Yes, there was a line for that too when they eventually opened it up. Target was there. Target was there. They had their own thing going on. ESPN, Honda, I think I mentioned them. Fig Pin, Hallmark, the Disney, the Walt Disney Pin Store, and the Disney Studios Store. Her Universe. If you're a fan of Ashley Eckstein, if you're a fan of Clone Wars from the Star Wars universe, you know who Ahsoka Tano is, and the voice of Ahsoka Tano is Ashley Eckstein. Not only was I able to get her exclusive Ahsoka Tano Funko Pop there, thank you, Michael, but I was able to meet Ashley Eckstein. Thank you, Michael, for pointing her out as well. Hands down, one of the nicest people I have ever met in my life. Ashley Eckstein, thank you so much for your time, for your kind words, because you just made our day. Fantastic. I recommend everyone go to Her Universe in any future opportunity to D23 just to go meet her. Anyways, the Avatar Pavilion. Wow. They made an entire pavilion where you were walking through Avatar and lifelike sculptures of the characters. So you had Neytiri and you had, I'm drawing a blank on names. It doesn't matter. It was so cool. It was all fluorescent. It was blue. And yes, it had a line, but it actually moved pretty quickly. And then at the end, you got a little poster. That was really cool.
It looked amazing. The pictures looked amazing. I couldn't imagine it in person.
It was so immersive, and you couldn't believe that you were in an expo, because it was just like, oh my gosh, they literally brought the movie to you. It was really cool. Lucasfilm was there. I was able to get that as my one singular panel, and it was very, very cool because we were able to learn how they make the their cinematography, cinematographic magic. That's not the word, but you know what I'm talking about. The magic that they do, the technology that they use. Wow. I'm so happy I was able to be picked for this particular presentation, because it was just so mesmerizing and exquisite to be able to see how they do create what they create for these shows and movies. So that was really fantastic. And we also got a pin for attending that. National Geographic, they had the Hexadome experience, which was also incredible. If you don't follow Nat Geo TV on Instagram, I suggest you do, because they have a few videos there and it shows you kind of what they had presented at D23. Let's see what else. They had a Disney Junior Let's Play section, as well as a Disney Plus, Hulu, and FX. Very, very popular. They had 30 years of Disney on Broadway booth, which honestly was just located so perfectly in the center of everything. Like, you always pass by it. So it was always like, oh my gosh, you seeing these beautiful costumes and props that they use for so many Disney on Broadway shows. It was really captivating. There was a Disney Channel and a Descendants and a Freeform booth. There was a Good Morning America booth. Roosevelt's. Goodness gracious. Probably one of the most in-demand booths as well. The line on average was 2+ hours long just to get a Roosevelt. So kudos to them for their big boom. I know we've talked about it plenty of times here. Brooks is a huge fan of Roosevelt's, as am I. And
Just slightly.
They had a great showing. Great showing. I mean, the amount of people that wanted Roosevelt's, honestly, they're just killing it. So, Box Lunch was there. They had a huge outpour of people in line. And Marvel Studios. I sadly was not able to check Marvel Studios out. Basically, what they did is a TVA walkthrough experience. So if you've watched the Loki series on Disney Plus, you will understand what I mean by the TVA and the Time Variance Authority. again, I didn't get to see it in person. The line was very long as well. And even though it's a walkthrough experience, that one did take a lot longer. It was a lot bigger than the Avatar one. And you'd have fun little things like Miss Minutes as a projection in some of the hallways from what I saw and heard. So very, very cool. One of the last things I want to touch base on from the first floor is the D23 Emporium. And that's towards the very back. At least it was in this expo. And it basically consisted of a lot of little tiny booths from little tiny vendors. And a lot of vintage collectible items were there. Very, very cool. It wasn't like one specific company. Lots of little ones. And people were selling their own little things. What was really cool was like I was able to buy a few vintage pins from back in the 1980s Disney. And some patches and stuff. So some OG that was really, really cool. But you would find books and maps and all kinds of other antique knickknacks that for a Disney fanatic, it's just like eye candy. So anyways, that doesn't cover everything, but it does cover a large amount of stuff that was on that first floor. For time purposes, I'm just going to go real quick through floor 2 and 3. The second floor. Oh, and then one last thing. There were a few stages in the first floor, like the premiere stage, and there was the spotlight stage, for instance. So you have some shows and other presentations going on there throughout the day. On the second floor, you have the Hyperion stage. You have the backlot stage. You've got the Inside Out 2 headquarters. I did not get to go there. Like I said, I was there one day. It was not enough to do even half of the things. Sadly, I didn't get to do that. They also had the D23 Marketplace. They had a Pixar putt area. Yes, you got to play putt-putt in the expo if you wanted to do something fun with the kids. They had a Marvel and Star Wars, like they called it like a Star Wars Darkcade. So it was like an arcade, but Star Wars themed. Kind of cool. Again, this was a fun place for kids. They had a Mickey and Friends area with like photos and like whatever. They got Disney princesses. Again, another photo op opportunity. Swarovski was there. Beautiful Disney sculptures. The Disney store was there. That line was long too. And then Brooks, the creme de la creme, Joffrey's. Joffrey's was actually located inside the Disney publishing booth, which was actually really cool. They had a lot of Disney books in there, some that aren't released yet, a lot from Imagineers and other just fantastic Disney literature. But Joffrey's was there, and they were doing some tastings of their Sorcerer's Apprentice Mickey blend. Yes, I got a bag. This was delicious. This was sweet, citrusy notes, and a smooth finish, medium roast. I got the whole bean coffee because, yeah, that's what Michael wanted. It was not only delicious, but everyone there was super, super nice. We love Joffrey's here. It's no
love Joffrey's.
Love. And this was actually their very first time at D23. And I'd argue that they also had a pretty good showing of people that wanted Joffrey's coffee. I mean, when I tell you I was so sad to hear that Joffrey wasn't actually selling coffee for me to drink there at the convention. It was just tasting. I was like, goodness gracious. I was counting on it. Oh, gosh, I love their coffee. But anyways, I did get a bag and it was delicious. So I'm very, very excited for that. They also had so I mentioned like the D23 Marketplace, the Marvel and Star Wars Darkade, Pixar, Joffrey's. This was all located in what was called the World of Disney, the Product Experience Showcase. I don't know why, but it had a pretty logo. So that was very cool. A lot of shopping there. And then on the third floor, you had the Walt Disney Archive stage. And I think that's it. So again, just another opportunity for people to be able to enjoy a panel. And these panels can range anywhere from 30 to 45 to an hour. And there's a whole slew of different, you know, shows that were available for people to be able to take advantage of. Sadly, I only got the Star Wars one, and there was, again, so much to do, I couldn't attend more. But they do give away a lot of stuff at these panels, so something else to keep in mind for anyone interested in the D23 in the future. I apologize for ranting on so much, and I believe me when I say I try to make that quick.
I feel like you just scratched the surface.
I really did. I really, really did, you know.
It definitely sounds like
you can
go
3 days, go 3 days.
Sounds like we're going all 3 days next year.
And and prices vary depending on what you decide to do, whether it's 1 day, half a day, full day, 3 days, whatever. But you get your money's worth. If not by exclusive things that they hand out, but by the experience and the exclusive merchandise you can only get there. It's just really fantastic. It really, really, it's unlike anything I've ever done before. And I recommend it, truly. That is all. If you have any more questions, let me know.
So then we're going to go right in. So along with the expo, they announced just a ton of news at the, and they did that every night at the Honda Center. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
So on Friday night, they had the entertainment panel. On Saturday night, they had the experience panel. Which is the big one with the parks. And then Sunday, they had the Legends panel. So we're going to go through real quick on what they announced at the panels. I'm going to take Friday with the entertainment. And good gravy, did they announce a lot of stuff. And I'm going to try to go through this very quickly. So they announced, they showed new trailers for Moana 2 and a release date of November 27th of 2024, and the first full trailer for Snow White, which will come out on 3/21/2025. Yes.
So, Moana, not only was she there at the convention center doing pictures and autograph and talking about the movie, but her, the voice of Moana, I can't pronounce her name, so I'm just not even going to do it. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson were both at the Honda Center that evening performing some of the songs that they've done for Moana. Talk about exciting. Who wouldn't want to see The Rock? Yeah. But again, hopefully, if you're a big fan.
Hopefully he's not in his final boss from WWE.
Anyways, continue on.
So then you had the first look at Stitch and the live action remake of Lilo and Stitch coming out in summer 2025. They announced that Incredibles 3 is officially in the works. They showed a teaser for Toy Story 5 coming out in summer of 2026. They also announced that Frozen 3 is officially coming out in theaters of 2027. Previously, they announced it was going to be coming out sometime in 2026, but they moved it to 2027. And it's also said that it's being shot as a two-part movie. So then Frozen 4, it's also in the works, supposedly coming out the year after that. They also announced that with Frozen, the Broadway show is going to be coming to Disney Plus in 2025, like they came out with Hamilton. They're going to have the Frozen Broadway show. Zootopia 2 is going to be hitting theaters November 26th of 2025, and they also showed some of the new characters. The next Pixar movie, I think it's pronounced Elio. They released a trailer for that, and that's hitting theaters June 13th of 2025. They also showed the Star Wars Skeleton Crew. So it's a new Star Wars show coming to Disney Plus, and that will premiere December 3rd. And then Agatha All Along. Looking forward to that one. They said the first two episodes are going to hit September 18th of this year. Yes, we have a question.
Well, more like a comment. So another cool thing that happened at the convention Saturday, I was there, but I did not do this. They had I think it was the full cast of Agatha All Along doing a little presentation just outside of the building at the expo. And they showed the trailer there and a couple other things. They gave out ice cream and some other goodies for the people that attended this particular event. Thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's it.
And then they also showed kind of new concept art and everything for the Fantastic Four movie coming out with this name, the Fantastic Four First Steps. And that's going to be coming out July 25th of 2025. They also announced that Daredevil Born Again, which is going to be on Disney Plus, is going to be coming out March 1st of 2025. They announced the official name for Avatar 3. So it's Avatar Fire and Ash. And that's going to be hitting theaters December 19th of 2025.
Cannot wait for that one.
Now we just need wind and earth. so we have earth. So, and then also they announced the official name for the sequel to Freaky Friday, which is Freakier Friday. That's going to be hitting theaters of 2025. And then they announced the name for the Tron. The next Tron movie, which is going to be the third in the trilogy, Tron Ares, and that's going to be releasing October 10th of 2025. They also announced, you mentioned Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He is also he's in works with developing a movie called Monster Jam, which is going to be a monster truck movie that's in the works. And then it announced that Pixar has its first original television series that's going to be coming out on Disney Plus, Win or Lose. That's going to be coming out December 6th of 2024. And then also they have in production from Inside Out, the Dream production. So all I'm looking forward to seeing the Princess Unicorn or the Unicorn Horse. As Joy said, I loved her in Sparkle 7 or something like that. That's going to be premiering in 2025. And then they also announced another movie that Pixar is making, Hoppers. It's going to be the new original movie after Helio. That's going to be coming out in spring of 2026. I got super excited about this. They released a trailer for Mufasa, The Lion King. And that's going to be
hitting. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's going to be hitting theaters December 20th of 2024. I'll be honest, before I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, I'll probably see that. I am definitely seeing it now. if you haven't had a chance to go watch that trailer, it is incredible. And then they also announced that Ironheart, which was a character that was introduced in the Black Panther Wakanda Forever, she is getting her own television series that will be premiering in 2025. They announced season 2 for Star Wars Andor. That's going to also be premiering in 2025. They also announced that The Mandalorian and Grogu will be hitting theaters May 22nd of 2026.
Time out.
Yes.
How do you feel about that being a movie and not a show anymore?
I mean, they've already had 3 seasons, so I'm good with the movie.
Here's my thought, and it's okay. Not that I'm not excited, because I love Mando and Grogu to the point where when I was at the Loungefly store, they gave me a Grogu keychain that I am obsessed with. Obsessed. I don't know how I feel about only having like 2 or 3 hours of Mando and Grogu. Where like with the series, like, yes, episodes range from like 25 to like 45 minutes. I had at least spread it out over 8 episodes. So I got to enjoy it a little bit longer and I loved it. And I feel like it just kind of, every episode had like its highs and lows. I feel like a movie is just, I'm very excited and I believe in Jon Favreau. I hope it's enough. I hope and it Dave doesn't Filoni. Leave me wanting more. You know what I mean? So that's my only thing. That's my only thing.
I believe
thing.
In Favreau and Filoni.
I do. I do. So. I do too.
And then last but certainly not least, they announced season 2 for Percy Jackson and the Olympians will be releasing in 2025. Oh,
we are most excited for that in this house.
Yes.
The entire cast was at D23 convention doing signings. They were doing a whole talking panel. You would have enjoyed it, frankly.
Yeah.
Can I just say, Brooks, there is 15 things coming in 2025 was announced. And I know a lot of these things we already knew about, but now it's confirmed, like timeframes and such. 15 things in 2025. That is amazing.
The fact that live action for Lilo and Stitch is coming out summer of 2025.
I feel like I just heard about that one
too. Same.
So, I don't know how I feel about it. I really don't.
I will say he looked good in the.
He did look good.
Yeah, that was the main thing I was worried about is how Stitch.
It gives me Sonic the Hedgehog vibes.
I was just gonna.
I was going to say pre. Rework or after rework, because the teeth and the pre that was scary.
Those teeth, wow.
Yeah,
but after they reworked it, he looked very good.
Yeah, he Agreed. Looked much better.
Yeah. So that, and again, I just went through those very quickly. I could spend hours talking about all these. If you want to hear more about it, let us know on the Facebook page or Instagram or in the comments on YouTube. And then if you want to hear a little bit of a hot take. If you want to hear my thoughts on Toy Story 5.
I do.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just say this real quick. I feel like they ended it perfectly with Toy Story 4. And then from the stuff that I've seen for Toy Story 5, Woody is back. How on earth is Woody is back when we went through this whole thing with him leaving?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more.
It
could be a hot take, but I agree.
To me, because they've already announced that, and they've already announced what it's kind of going to be about kids with the electronic age.
Yeah.
There's an interview with Tim Allen on how he thinks, like, I guess before they announced it, if they did a Toy Story 5, how he thinks that they should do it. And his pitch was Andy seeing like a Woody for sale on like eBay or something like that, and noticing that it was his toy, and him like doing all this stuff and getting the gang back together for his children. And it was like through the eyes of Andy.
And well, I was like, that's gonna make me cry.
I was like, that, and now that I know that we're probably not getting that.
However, I am very, very intrigued by the idea of like the modern era with technology being, you know, the go-to for children.
Why is Woody back with a gang? I'm sorry.
I'm not disagreeing, but is there really Toy Story without Woody and Buzz?
Exactly. I think they should have kept it.
So they should have just not done it.
Yeah.
But the idea is appealing.
Honestly, I feel like they should have ended after Toy Story 3.
I'm a little, I'm, and this is also a hot take, and we'll get back on track shortly. I'm not sure how I feel about the lack thereof of new IP. Pretty much everything other than like a couple of, I don't know, things from Pixar is just repeated.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, well, because the last one was such a hit, right?
We do not talk about that.
My point is like, I'm very excited about a lot of these things. I'm not going to lie. It would have been nice to hear a couple of original, brand new, never heard of animation or just movies in general. You know,
because Wish was
getting four Frozen. Four Frozen? Why? I'm good with just the two.
I'm just surprised they didn't announce a sequel to Wish. I mean, that was such a big hit.
Sorry. Might be too soon.
Yeah.
Probably coming. With the rate of, with the rate of things going, I mean, I feel like it'll come.
If they come out with that before Tangled 2.
Don't even put that out there.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of these animations don't need more than their one. If some can get a two, Frozen with their two, great. I don't need a three and a four.
I will say though, the one thing that I am, this is the last thing I'm going to say, very pleasantly surprised is Mufasa.
Yeah.
And the story that they introduced with it, watch the trailer. I was blown away by that story.
But that's a different spin-off. Yes, that's something that we've never had before. Lion King, yes. But the Mufasa storyline, that's cool. That's more on par with like the Maleficent movies that we had, where it's just a completely different storyline or perspective. But good Lord, they better do it justice, because because Lion King is one of my favorite animation movies, and I'm still irked to no end that they sang "Can You Feel the Love Tonight" during the day. No. Just no. Cancel that one. The entire thing was during the day.
Maybe it was more into the evening. Maybe the sun was setting.
No, Brooks. There was sunshine. Give me the moon and the romance ambiance.
It's night somewhere. It's 8 p.m. somewhere.
You're going to tell me it did not bother you, Brooks? It did not bother you?
The fact that it was almost a shot-for-shot remake kind of bothered me a little bit. At least Aladdin had its own twist.
I agree, but Beauty and the Beast was a shot-for-shot remake, and that was
fantastic. It was not. No, it was not.
Yes, it what? Most of it. It was. I thought that was the best remake. That and Aladdin have been the best remakes. Everything else has
Cinderella
just been like
good too. Cinderella was good too.
That was good.
Yeah, last hot take. I feel like the live action was better than the animated, and I love the animated.
I like them both equally. I really liked both.
Yeah. Lion King
and afterwards, questionable decisions. And it's not to say I don't like them. It's not to say I don't like them, but like some stuff, the OG is just the best.
Yeah.
That's all. My personal opinion, hot take.
We could talk about this all night, but
forever.
Yeah.
This will actually be a two-parter episode, as part two of our coverage on the D23 Expo will continue later on this week. As always, don't forget to join our Mouse Ears Podcast Facebook group, TikTok page, YouTube page, and Instagram to stay up to date on all things travel, but mostly Disney. And if you're interested in having a Fairytale Journeys agent book your next trip, visit fairytalejourneys.com and let them know that the podcast sent you. Lastly, if you enjoy our weekly episodes of the Mouse Ears Podcast, we'd love to hear from you and leave us a review wherever you listen to us. Until the next episode, thanks everyone. Bye.